الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يهده الله فلا هادي له ومن يضلله فلا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الكيس من دان نفسه وعمل لما بعد الموت والعاجز من أتبع نفسه هواها وتمنى على الله وعن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يصوم حتى نقول لا يفطر ويفطر حتى نقول لا يصوم فما رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم استكثر صيام شهر إلا شعبان أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم Respected ulama ikram, brothers and elders, somebody was asked by Umar radiallahu anhu, either it was Ubay bin Ka'b or Ka'b Ahbar, according to the different narrations, that what is taqwa? So they replied to him that, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, have you walked on a thorny path ever before? So he replied, yes. Then he asked him, okay, what did you do when you took that path? He says, I folded up my pants, my lower garment until halfway to the shin, and ijtahadtu. And I was very cautious and careful how I walked, so that none of those thorns could prick me. So then he replied, Ubay bin Ka'b radiallahu anhu replied, that this is the meaning of taqwa. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is about to bless us with a great month. And we all know that when there is a very big occasion, then people prepare for months in advance. So the objective of the month of Ramadan is taqwa. So let us try and inculcate the taqwa and the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our lives even before the month of Ramadan. Amr ibn Qais al-Mula'i, rahimahullah, he says that blessed and fortunate is that person who reforms himself even before the month of Ramadan. Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali, rahimahullah, he says that Mu'alla bin Fadl, rahimahullah, used to say that the Salaf, the pious people of the past, they used to supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They used to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 6 months in advance, before the month of Ramadan, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make them reach the month of Ramadan. And 6 months thereafter, after the termination of Ramadan, they used to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept their ibadat in the month of Ramadan. And it is narrated there is a dua they used to also make. We have probably heard the different variation of this dua. Is Allahumma sallimni ila Ramadan. O Allah, keep me safe till Ramadan. Let me meet and facilitate me to see the month of Ramadan. Wasallim li Ramadan. And make it such that Ramadan sees me in a good condition. And وَتَسَلَّمْهُ مِنِّي مُتَقَبَّلًا and accept it from me. Means receive it in such a way that it is accepted by you. So this is the Salaf. They used to prepare in advance for the month of Ramadan. To the extent that some of them, when the month of Sha'ban used to dawn, Then they used to close their businesses and get involved in ibadah. Because the month of Ramadan is at our doorstep. So we find ourselves in a similar situation. We have basically less than a month left for that blessed month of Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it such that we all see this month with afiyah, with safety and good health. But how can we prepare for this month of Ramadan? In the beginning, I quoted a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he mentioned, where Aisha radiallahu anha says, that at times Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to fast so excessively that we thought he's not going to break his fast, means he's not going to, the day won't come where he won't be fasting. And sometimes he used to make iftar so much, that means he should not fast, that we should think that he will never fast for that. She mentions that I never saw him completing an entire month of fasting except Ramadan, and I haven't seen him fasting more in any month than the month of Shaaban. So let me explain what is the need. Why did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam do ibadah to the extent that he did in the month of Shaaban before Ramadan? There is a hadith of Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu that mentions that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was fasting excessively in Shaaban. So Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu asked him, Ya Rasulullah, why is it that you are fasting so much this month? So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned to him that this is a month which is between Rajab and between Ramadan. Rajab is one of the Ashhurul Hurum, the sanctified months in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was regarded as sacred before even the advent of Islam. The pagan Arabs used to regard Rajab together with Dhul-Qa'dah, Dhul-Hijjah and Muharram as sacred months. When Islam came, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept it as that. That Rajab, Dhul-Qa'dah, Dhul-Hijjah and Muharram are sacred months. So even the feudal wars that they had amongst themselves, they would stop during these months. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Abu Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu that this is a month which comes in between Rajab and in between Ramadan. And it is a time when people are negligent. It is a time when people are not engaging themselves in the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is why I'm fasting in this month. And he also mentioned that it is such a month wherein a'mal are presented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I would like it that my a'mal are presented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in such a condition that I am fasting. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam increased his ibadah in the month of Shaaban because of this. One is that this is a month of negligence. People are neglectful of doing ibadah in this month. So a person who does ibadah at the time when people are negligent, then the rewards are much greater, much more. That is why the time of tahajjud, a person gets so much of reward. Because that is the time people are sleeping. People are resting. So to get up at that time is mujahada, is difficult on the body. So a person's reward is increased. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did it for this reason. So that he could increase his reward and he could present his a'mal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why did Rasulullah sallallahu specifically fast so much in this month of Shaaban? Ulama give different explanations and different reasons. One of them was, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was his Mubarak habit that every month he used to fast 3 days, which is called Ayyamul Bid. The 13th, 14th, 15th of every lunar month was the time when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to keep fast. And like that also, Mondays and Thursdays, it was a habit of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to fast. But sometimes, due to different occasions, incidents, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa could not fast. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa had a set of nafil ibadah that he used to also perform every day. And because of the need of the time, sometimes that ibadah was left out. So the month of Shaaban used to come, as we say, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to cover up all these fasts and ibadah that he missed during the entire year. So one reason that ulama give that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam increased his ibadah in the month of Shaaban was to cover up for all that he missed during the rest of the year. The second reason we gave is as the hadith of Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu mentioned, that it is a time of negligence and a person's reward is increased. Thirdly, they say that it was an opportunity for the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to cover up their missed fast. We all know in Islam, as a rule, it is not permissible for a woman to keep a nafil fast without the permission of her husband, to keep the rights of the husband in mind. So in this month of Sha'ban, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, virtually the entire month he was fasting. So because of this, it was easy for the women folk to now keep their qada, because they knew that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this month he would be fasting. So there's no need also to ask him now for permission, because he's fasting virtually the entire month. So this is another point which ulama mentioned regarding why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam increased his ibadah in the month of Sha'ban. So the first thing, as a means of preparation for the month of Ramadan, to develop the taqwa that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to develop, is that a person should try to keep some nafil fast in this month. Not very difficult. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that person who puts himself forward and his intention is sahih, then inshallah Allah will make it easy for him. Any act of ibadah with the correct intention that a person does, Allah makes it easy for him. But an act of ibadah, if it is done in a way that a person is disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it becomes very difficult. That is why we find in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, two ladies were fasting. And they were on the brink of starvation, about to die because of no food, because of hunger. So this was brought to the attention of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells Sahaba, give them two bowls, let them vomit. So Sahaba perplexed that how can they vomit? They have no food in their system. But anyway, it was the command of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is given to them, and they begin to vomit blood and pieces of flesh. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions they stayed away from the halal, but they involved themselves in the haram. That is backbiting. So ulama mentioned regarding this riwayat and this qissa here, is that one point to take from here is that because they involved in themselves in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is why that ibadat that they were involved in became difficult for them. So we too also, if we have the correct intention and fulfill the ibadah in the correct way, then it will become very easy for us. So the first thing is that we can try and increase our fasting. At least a few roza. As we said, 13, 14 and 15 of the month is sunnah. A person can, inshallah, make that intention. Or if he has more himmat and taqa, then he can make the intention of keeping fast Monday and Thursday also, being great reward for a person, and will prepare him for the month of Ramadan. Hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions, and we have heard this before, is that the month of Ramadan is split into three parts. The first 10, second 10, and third 10. First 10 is the days of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Second 10 is the days wherein Allah's forgiveness comes upon the people. And the last 10 days of the month of Ramadan is those 10 days wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emancipates people from the fire of Jahannam. So in explaining this hadith, ulama mentioned, this is because of the different categories of people. Some people have hardly any burdens of sin. They have no sin to their account. They are in obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 24/7. Then day and night is according to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For these people, when the month of Ramadan comes, immediately they draw from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They get the blessings from the start, from the word go. Then you get those people who have sins, but their sins don't overpower their good deeds. So for these people, 10 days of cleansing is needed, and thereafter Allah's forgiveness comes upon them. And then the third category of people, which is majority of the people who have filled their life with sin against the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, against the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, for them to receive forgiveness and freedom from the fire of Jahannam, they have to go through a majority portion of the month, 20 days or more, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can cleanse them, and now they can be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is why we mentioned before the call of Mu'alla bin Fadl, that it is Mubarak and blessings for that person who purifies himself and he gets himself forgiven even before the month of Ramadan dawns. So one thing we can do is fasting. Another way of preparing ourselves for the month of Ramadan is correcting our salah. Correcting our salah. We all know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made salah farz upon us. The 27th of Rajab has passed. Many of us may have gone to a lecture where we heard about Mi'raj and we heard about the gift of salah. Mi'raj was filled with incidents of salah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he left towards Masjid al-Aqsa, at many different places Jibreel alayhi salam stopped him, made him come down, perform salah and continue. One of the places was his Darul Hijra, Madinah Munawwara. And when he goes to Masjid al-Aqsa, he becomes Imam al-Anbiya. He performs Salah and all the Anbiya follow him. When he passes by the grave of Musa alayhi salam, he sees Musa alayhi salam performing Salah. When he goes up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah gives him the gift of Salah. So, Salah holds a very, very important position in the life of a believer. To the extent that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, the person who doesn't have Salah in his life, then he is like a kafir. The difference between a believer and a kafir is tarkus salah. They are leaving out salah. And a believer is performing his salah. So the first thing we can correct about our salah is perform it with jamaat in the masjid. And how important is this? We can see from the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told, he says, my wish is to get hold of the youngsters of the area, get them to gather some firewood, and I will put fire to the houses of those people who perform their salah at home without any valid excuse. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a mercy to the entire mankind. Each one has to think to himself. I have to think to myself. Is it such that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wants to burn my house down because I am performing salah at home without any valid excuse? There are so many fadail and virtues of a person performing his salah in the masjid that it is innumerable. Just one, which is another faida of performing our salah with jamaat in the masjid, is that sometimes a person, his salah is not accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of something that he is doing wrong in his salah. Maybe his qiraat is not correct, he's not reciting the Quran in a correct way, maybe he's not saying the takbir properly, Allahu Akbar, or whatever it is. But now when he comes into the masjid, and he reads salah behind the imam, and as we know, for us there is no qira behind the imam, so the qira is taken care of. At least his fard salah has been taken care of by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by performing salah in jama'at. So this is one great fadila and blessing, that a person who performs his salah with jama'at, then inshallah his salah will be correct. If there is any mistake, then the imam is liable. Then whoever is the imam, he is liable. The hadith comes, that sometimes a person performs salah in such a way, the imam that haphazardly performs it, the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, then that is for you and against him. You will get the reward of your salah, and he will have to bear the brunt of his salah on the day of Qiyamah in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one great fadila of performing our salah in jama'ah is that inshallah, if there is some kami, some deficiency in our salah, it will be covered up because of the jama'ah salah. And just on this point also, by the way, the thought has come to mind that ulama mentioned another virtue of keeping fast in Shaban before Ramadan, is that just like how on the day of Qiyamah when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to question a person regarding his salah, and then if there is any deficiency in his salah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell the angels, look, if this my banda has any nafil salah, and that nafil salah of his will be used to cover up his fard salah. In the same way, ulama mentioned that the fasting, the nafil fast in the month of Shaban will be used to cover up any deficiencies that took place in our fard fast in the month of Ramadan. And Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali rahimahullah mentions also that the virtue of fasting in Shaban is even more than the virtue of fasting in the Ashhurul Hurum, in Rajab or in Dhul Qa'dah. That means any normal fast besides the ones that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has specified. He says the reason for this is those fasts or those nafil which are linked to the farad, they are used to cover up the farad, so they are more appropriate and they have more virtue than the other nawafil fast. So in a similar way, this fast that is linked to the month of Ramadan, means the fast of Shaban that comes before it, or the fast of Shawwal that comes after it, these are more virtuous than fasting at any other time of the year, because they are linked to our faraid. In the same way, that our sunnah salah will link to our farad salah, and that can be used to cover up the deficiency in our farad salah, this is the same. So nonetheless, we have to correct our salah. If our salah becomes correct, then a person's deen becomes correct also. The third thing we can maybe try and increase in this month of Shaban is tilawat of Quran. There were many salaf, Salama bin Suhail and others, who said when the month of Shaban dawned, they said this is the month of tilawat of Quran. Many of them would close their shops, as I have mentioned before, and they would now just begin to recite Quran and keep Roza as in preparation for the month of Ramadan. So this is how we can also prepare for the month of Ramadan. Make it our daily habit from now, that inshallah we will specify some portion of our day for the tilawat of Quran. Whether it is in the morning, evening, 20 minutes, half an hour, start practicing from now. The reason for this is that so that when the month of Ramadan comes, then a person is already in the habit. And if we do not know how to read Quran, then this is the ideal opportunity to start learning how to read Quran. Many of us may have learned when we were maktab, but now we have forgot, we need to touch up. So contact the imam of the area, or the ulama, or the qurra. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us in this country that every turn you take, there is a qari sahab, there is an alim, there is a hafiz of Quran. And I don't think anyone would refuse you to teach you the Quran, the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So go to them and sit with them. There's no need to feel shy at all. And if you don't even know how to read alif, ba, the basic the Arabic alphabet, then start from there also. Just by the way, one of the ulama says that every person can get the reward of being a hafiz. We all know what is the status of a hafiz. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will confer him with a crown which will outshine even the sun in brilliance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give his parents this crown and garments to wear. So, how high is the position of a hafiz? Some riwayats mention that he will even have the ability to make his sifarish for 10 people from his family who are doomed to the fire of Jahannam. So he says that every person can get the status of being a hafiz. And it is very simple. Make the intention of doing hifz, even if you don't know alif ba. Start with alif ba ta tha, and make the intention that I am doing hifz of the Quran. After you learn how to read, and now you can read the Quran, then start memorizing a few surahs from the back. All of us maybe know at least a few surahs from the back. So increase every day, start learning. Even if we an ayah of the Quran, or half an ayah. If a person makes this intention, and he starts this process, and in the process he passes away and he leaves this world, then just like how that person who made intention for Hajj and is on his journey, on his way, going towards Hajj and he passes away, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will including amongst the Hujjaj on the day of Qiyamah, in a similar way, that person who makes intention of Hifz and he starts the process of Hifz, and he passes away whilst he's doing Hifz of Quran, even though he's learning half an ayah a day, or even one ayah a day, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshaAllah, we have hope that Allah will raise him with the Huffaz on the day of Qiyamah. So these are a few pointers that we can bring into our lives to try and prepare for the month of Ramadan. One is to try and keep some nafil fast. The other is to correct our salah and increase tilawat of Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq of making amal. Wa akhir da'wana. Alhamdulillah.